encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day today as we together study the Word of Almighty God. It's been a wonderful time here going through the book of Peter, the first letter of Peter's two letters that he wrote. This particular one, we're going to find out at the end that he dictated this to Silas. Silas is the one that wrote this down. This is Silas's Greek, which is why many people think 2 Peter, many people erroneously think that 2 Peter is a forgery, because we believe that Peter wrote 2 Peter with his own hand, and his Greek was not as refined as other people's, as Silas's was. But here we are. This is the last message in this series in Peter, and I'll have another word here coming up at the end. An eyewitness, that's the key to this. Actually, the key to the letter has been suffering. This really struck me here in this sermon is that Peter is an eyewitness. And think about the power of an eyewitness. That's what we're going to think about here. This is where we're going to hit it off today. Also, again, we're going to hit off at the end of this about being sober and sober-minded, and how it's a bad mistake to give up control of your mind. Okay, here's today's message. Again, I'll be back at the end of this for another word. This will conclude tomorrow, Wednesday night. We have midweek Bible study. We're heading into the Battle of Armageddon here coming up. Island Community Church's app is now available. I encourage you to download that. Search for Island Community Church FL. Okay, here's the first part of this message. Now, Peter, an eyewitness.
We're wrapping up 1 Peter this morning. There's nothing worse as a writer or preacher than to wake up or turn on your computer only to discover that all that a person had was gone and lost forever. At least, so my sermon was. But that's usually a good thing, because that means that God's got something better in store. Amen. We'll see what the Lord will do with this one. Reminds me of an interesting Bible story. Now, back in the day, Jeremiah the prophet wrote out his entire book, and the king read it and got so furious with it that he threw it into the fire. And Jeremiah had to go back and rewrite the entire book all over again. But as the story goes, the Greek version of the Old Testament contained the pre-fire version of the book of Jeremiah, while the traditional Bibles of today have the second go-round. Now, speaking of Old Testament verses, we had this last week from the Greek Old Testament, Proverbs 11:31. It says, if the righteous is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Now, Bill here is the only one to win the prize for having that verse in his electronic Bible. And Bill and I will be going to lunch very soon. On him, let me add. Only kidding. Where are we today? Well, we're wrapping up this wonderful letter that Peter wrote to Christians around the area that were suffering because of the name. That's why the whole book was written. And suffering will be present right here again in the first verse of chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The handout, I think, picks up in verse 5. Let's pick it up, though. Top of the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. It says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. More on that word witness in a moment. But Peter gives an extra God bless to the elders in that area. Now, elder, the word presbyteros or Presbyterian, elder was a pastor or a church leader or leader. There were elders there amongst the rulers in Israel. Also, the word can mean age-wise as senior. Still in today, Presbyterian and Methodist churches, the elder is the pastor. He's the preacher. Now, Peter says, though he is a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Think about it. He saw it firsthand. All right, now let's just cut right to the chase here. I won't beat around the bush. Wait for what I'm going to say to you this morning. Peter said, I am a witness of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here you have a book or a letter contained in a book written by an eyewitness who stood at the cross, albeit from a distance like Peter, and he watched the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, die on the cross. Next week, we'll get to one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, 2 Peter 1:19, which says this, actually 1:16. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. See, next time you're doubting or you're down or you've lost faith or trust in your Bible, remember your Bible was written down by eyewitnesses. Months after Peter wrote this, he was nailed to a wooden cross and crucified upside down. Did you know that's how Peter died? They nailed him upside down to a cross. So the next time someone tells you there was no real historical Jesus, or that he didn't die, or that he never said the things that he said, I give you the okay, slap him. All right, maybe not slap them. Look what Peter just told you in this verse. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. Utos estin ho wios mu ho agapetos on judicesa. That is, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Acuete autu. Listen to him. Peter is an eyewitness. He heard it and he saw it with his own eyes and he wrote it in a book. There's nothing more powerful than an eyewitness. Amen. He wrote it and then he died, so that you would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. 2 Peter 1:16 through 18. He was there. He was a witness. Imagine being there. Imagine the power of your eyewitness. Imagine the power of your eyewitness. If you were there, no one could ever refute you, ever. If you were there and saw, see, this is what an apostle was. He had to be, Acts 1:21, 1 Corinthians 9:1, he had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. That's what made him so powerful. Plus, of course, the hand of God on him. His shadows could raise people. But an eyewitness. And I can just imagine just the power of your eyewitness. No one could ever, ever refute anything you ever said because you were an eyewitness. And even here, he's saying, even though I'm an eyewitness, we have the prophetic word made more sure, meaning you've got the Holy Bible, which is better than a witness, than an eyewitness. More on that next week in 2 Peter. But please know and understand what you hold in your hand this morning. You possess a book in which the Holy Spirit is the author. Paul called it God-breathed. He invented a word, theopneustos, Theos is God. Pneuma means spirit. To describe what this book is. God breathed. Written down by eyewitnesses who were there. They were there. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15:1, 15:3. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. After that, he was seen. Notice the catchphrase here. It's going to come up 4 or 5 times. He was seen by Cephas. That's his Arabic name. Peter. So that's verse 5. After that, he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15:6. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this day, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. So let me get this straight. Peter writes 2 books in this. He's an eyewitness. James writes 1. Paul wrote 14 letters in here. 14, if you count Hebrews. Written by eyewitnesses who could tell you the color of Jesus' eyes. Praise be to God. There's power in being an eyewitness. There's power in it. All these are eyewitnesses. On a cold spring day in 1935 against the Pittsburgh Pirates, George Herman Ruth hit 3 home runs in 1 game. One of his last games, number 712, 713, and 714. Imagine being at that game that day in Pittsburgh, seeing him hit number 714, and being an eyewitness to Babe Ruth hitting 714 home runs, or hitting 3 in a game. You see, eyewitnesses preserve history for us. As more and more Jews die who were alive in 1942, the more and more evil people come out of the woodwork and selectively tell people, there was no Holocaust. I'll tell you what, that dude would not have gotten away with writing the book and doing the television series In Search of Jesus' Bones if there was any eyewitnesses left, because they would have slapped him. But there was none left, so that's how you get away with that. The old-time Jews from World War II, this is why they have a Holocaust memorial, so people wouldn't forget. Because the eyewitnesses are dying and leaving this world. You got to have something there to remind people. That guy in search of Jesus' bones, he would have been disgraced by eyewitnesses. And indeed, he would have taken my advice and slapped him. A few weeks back, they uncovered a dead eyewitness. Same place where they found a whole bunch of other dead eyewitnesses. And in actuality, they're not dead at all. But they're alive. In Qumran, they uncovered a scroll of Nahum the prophet. The eyewitness was 2,100 years old. It was a book of the Old Testament prophet, Nahum. And it was 100% accurate down to every dotted I. When they looked and took the dust off of something they found in a cave from 50 years before anyone ever heard of Jesus and compare it to what they have now, every I was dotted on it. It was absolutely perfect. And that is an eyewitness. It's an eyewitness. The eyewitness survived to tell you that the Bible is true, every word of it. One last verse on eyewitness. My all-time favorite, spoken by Peter, a few years earlier than this. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, Peter said to him, speaking of Jesus, to him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. Praise God. All the prophets, everyone bears witness that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let me say, a whole lot of men and women eyewitnesses died so that you would know that truth. And remember that the next time doubts arise about the trustworthiness of your Bible, or if someone tries to discredit the eyewitnesses, remember what you have. People will always try to get you, if you watch this phony baloney garbage on the television, they'll try to get you to doubt. Don't go to National Geographic if you want to learn about the Bible. Read it and learn about the Bible. And there's a scripture verse that says, his spirit will confirm with ours that we are children of God. Read the Word of God. Don't listen to these people on television. All right, let's close out this book. Peter's instructing the elders, if you remember. Elders being pastor, leaders. And how ironic, they were very similar to the last words the Lord spoke to him. In John 21, Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. All right, verse 2. 1 Peter 5, 2. Shepherds, this time the word's a verb. Shepherd, the flock of God which is among you. Serving as overseers, Greek word bishop, episkopos, episkopos, episcopal, bishop, overseer. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, that is, don't do it because you have to, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, or the King James would say, not for filthy lucre, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That phrase, not fade away, is actually in Greek the name of a flower. The flower is in the amaranth, if anyone's ever heard of that. I haven't. Amaranth. Crown of glory is one of the few New Testament crowns you and I strive for. The crown of glory, that is, eternal glory. James mentions the crown of life. Paul mentions the crown of righteousness laid up for him. The last recorded words for Paul. There is now waiting for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me. And not just me, but all who have loved for his appearing. That's the last thing he ever spoke, was waiting on this crown. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Whatever you do, don't forget this truth here today. God opposes the proud. That is, God resists the proud man or woman. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This might have been perhaps the first verse I ever had to learn the hard way as a Christian. If I ever could know the still small voice of God, it would have been hearing the voice of God say to me, 1 Peter 5:6, 1 Peter 5:6. Probably the first verse I memorized. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That is, say you work with or you're married to a person who could never admit that they're wrong. Anyone know anybody like that? Have you ever worked with someone like that? Even a spouse or a mother or a father? I've worked with... Glad his camera's not turned around the other way. And you know that, at least in this particular instance, you know that you're right. And you know, at least for once in your life, you know you're right and the other person's wrong. Hasn't that happened to you? God is calling you to leave it alone. You take the high road by taking the low road in humility. Don't press it. Let God raise you up in due time. That's what he's saying. Even though you might be right, humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will raise you up in due time. Let God raise you up instead of you flexing your muscles and raising yourself up. Let God do it. Let God do it. All right, next verse, key verse. First, we'll look at the problem. Then we'll look at the solution that Peter gives himself. Verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right, first of all, he says, be sober. That is, be in your right mind. I've preached this before, if you remember, how important it is to never get high and never to voluntarily give up control of your faculties, ever. When you're high, or when you voluntarily give up control of your mind, you do evil things. Because you're out of your mind. How can you fight things when you're out of your mind? You voluntarily go out of your mind. You can't win that fight when you're out of your mind. That's why he says to be sober-minded. The battle with the enemy is always here in your mind.
And we'll have to stop it here for today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. But you got to ask yourself, friend, who are you going to trust? You know, I see the government out here all over the place now, legalizing marijuana, legalizing drugs, giving this false illusion that they're looking out for you, and they're in your corner, and they're going to make your life better because they're going to legalize the opportunity for you to get out of your mind. I speak from experience as someone that was smoking pot in eighth grade, that this is a big mistake. And not only that, God commands us in his word, be ye sober-minded. It's when we're not sober-minded, that's when we open up the door for the devil to attack us. When you're out of your mind, it scares me when I see what's going on here in the world, legalizing these things, and then what the Bible says too of the state of men and women in the tribulation here, which is whenever that's coming. But we know when it's here, Revelation chapter 9 tells us that men and women refuse to give up their... Now, the Bible says sorceries, but I think they mistranslated that word. And I think it was prophetic, and John didn't realize it, maybe. That word is pharmakia. I don't think it's people refusing to repent and stop throwing in their eye of newt and frog leg in a bubbling cauldron, chanting your name over it. It's people refuse to give up their pharmaceutical drugs. That is another sign, just like all the ones that Jesus gave in Matthew 24, is that people are going to refuse to give up their drugs. And yet I can get up and preach this and people will scoff and leave because they're fulfilling that very prophecy. Refusing to give up their drugs when I tell you and preach the word of God to always have your wits about you and never to give them up. Always be in control of your mind at all times. We'll pick it up here again tomorrow. We'll actually replay some 6 or 7 minutes of this. It's a 32-minute message on a 30-minute program. So we'll hear some more of this again tomorrow. If you'd like a copy of this, you can go to my website, WGODradio.com. Facebook, it's uploaded on there. You'll see it. Peter, an eyewitness. Have a wonderful day. You are listening to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. More